This is Voice of Korea.
This is Voice of Korea.
Begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
In opening the main chorus, song of General Kim Jong-il.
Dear listeners, you're welcome to Voice of Korea. Today's programs will begin with the news. After the news, you'll read a third installment of Section 2 in the Dear World Tone of Chapter 13 towards Mount Paektu from the reminiscences of the great leader Kim Il-sung with a century. And in an account, the course of party founding accomplished in liberated Korea from the regular program Workers' Party of Korea Glorious 65 Years. Next, Ferdinand's comments, President Kim Il-sung is a great man recognized by the world. From the regular program, All People Praise. And in an account, historic victory of the Korean people in confrontation with the United States. And finally, we tell you about finger rings as trinkets of Korean women. From the regular program, Time-honored History, Resplendent Culture. And between the programs, you'll enjoy some songs. Now here is the news. The participants in the European Visual Society seminar on the role of Europe in the struggle for global independence and peace and against globalization recently sent a letter to the great leader Kim Jong-il. The letter said, the participants in the seminar unanimously stressed that the Tsutsui idea is the only drastic idea of the era of independence, which indicates the road ahead of the progress of humanity for global independence and peace. The letter also said, a consensus was reached on the view that the Sungun idea, which has been developed and enriched by leader Kim Jong-il in accordance with the new historical conditions, is a tragic sword and guideline that guaranteed the brilliant victory of the cause of independence. The letter added that under the outstanding guidance of leader Kim Jong-il, Korea as a fortress of the independent cause is urgently encouraging the progress of humanity in their struggle for global independence and peace and against globalization. The letter reassured him of their constant support and encouragement to the struggle of the Korean people for peaceful reunification and independent development of the country, and sincerely wished leader Kim Jong-il good health. The Indian newspaper Indian and World Event on the 12th carried the first and second parts of the great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work, giving priority to ideological work is essential for accomplishing socialism. The newspaper printed a photograph of leader Kim Jong-il. A short biography of the revolutionary activities of the great leader Kim Jong-il was carried in the bulletin of the Kim Jong-il Youth Group for the Study of the Tsutsui Idea in Vienna, Austria on the 15th. A friendly meeting was recently held in France, a briefing and lecture in Indonesia, a film show in Russia, seminars on exports in Cambodia, Finland and Bangladesh, on the occasion of the 46th anniversary of the start of the great leader Kim Jong-il's work at the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea. The International Secretary of the Central Committee of the French Revolutionary Commerce League and other speakers at the functions stressed that His Excellency Kim Jong-il is a veteran statesman who has strengthened the deal of the Workers' Party of Korea into an ever-victorious, iron-willed party and largely led the Korean people to victory and glory. The Korean documentary, Party Founding Memorial Tower, was projected at the film show. A message of greetings to leader Kim Jong-il was adopted at the cinema held in Finland. Newspapers of Pakistan and Bangladesh recently featured the 46th anniversary of the start of the great leader Kim Jong-il's work at the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea. The Pakistani newspaper Balochistan Times said His Excellency Kim Jong-il formulated a revolutionary idea of President Kim Il-sung as an integrated system of ideas, theory and method of Tsutsui through his energetic pursuit and uninterrupted ideological and theoretical activities in his early days. The Bangladesh newspaper Ekota expressed boundless respect to respected Kim Jong-il, who has achieved a single-hearted unity not to be found in many other countries in the world. The chairman of the Central Executive Committee of the National Socialist Party of Bangladesh made public a press statement on the 13th, vindication of the 46th anniversary of the start of the great leader Kim Jong-il's work at the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea. Foreign mass media recently featured the 10th anniversary of the publication of the historic June 15th Inter-Korean Joint Declaration. The Indian newspaper Lover Mail said, the idea of bio-nation itself is the familiarization and intensification of leader Kim Jong-il's creed. The Ethiopian newspaper Daily Monitor noted The reality proves that the firm defense of the June 15th Joint Declaration is the way to reconciliation, unity, and reunification of the Korean nation. The Cambodian upset at television and radio hardly proved that the great leader Kim Il-sung put forward the three charters for national reunification and devoted his all to bring a reunified country to the Korean people till the last moment of his life. The Equatorial Guinean television introduced the validity and vitality of the June 15th Inter-Korean Joint Declaration. The British Association for the Study of Sungun Politics and the British Group for the Study of the Tsutia Idea published a joint statement on the 20th, indication of the 20th anniversary of the publication of the June 15th Inter-Korean Joint Declaration. The joint statement said, the adoption of the joint declaration is a brilliant fruition of the Sungun politics of the great leader Kim Jong-il. It criticized that today, public trade ringing bug is totally negating the June 15th joint declaration by inciting confrontation and division between the North and the South through such anti-DPRK moves as the fabrication of the case of the warship Tsunan. The Korean Friendship Association, headquartered in Spain, posted an article in the Internet on the 11th in support of the Korean people's cause of national reunification on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the publication of the June 15th Inter-Korean Joint Declaration. A new comprehensive custom production base of highest capacity, all processes of which are equipped with high-tech facilities and technology, has been built in a short span of time at a Yangtze Machine Complex in the DPRK. The construction of the wonderful custom production base, equivalent to a large factory, has put a custom of Korea onto the advanced level of the world. Art circles of servicemen's families of the units, which participated in the third round of the second term contest of art circles of service persons families of the Korean People's Army, are giving performances at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang, rising at the points of the spectators. The performances were appreciated by officials of ministries and other national institutions and working people of different strata in Pyongyang. A spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the DPRK asked a question raised by the Korean Central News Agency on the 21st as regards the recent frantic slander of the United States against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The spokesman said, "These days, the United States is slandering us to be provocative and belligerent and not concerned with it, making even an impertinent fiction that we are giving nuclear cooperation to Myanmar." Some days ago, a spokesman for the U.S. Department of State, Crowley, imprudently slandered us as a criminal state on the basis of a false conspiratorial report of some media of South Korea that we are making pirate TV transmission of the World Cup. Our transmission of the World Cup is a legitimate and normal undertaking which is done according to agreements with international organizations concerned. Without knowing how the world is going, he dared to malignantly slander our sacred sovereign state as a criminal state. It is an outburst which can be made only by the historic and full zealous and extreme hostility against the DPRK. Now the United States is actively helping its puppet driven into a tight corner concerning the case of the Tsunan. It is the ulterior intention of the United States to cement again the total imposition of severe over South Korea by availing itself of the opportunity and at the same time to tame internally chaotic Japan through it. So the United States blindly defends any groundless allegation of the South Korean puppets conducting an unprecedented smear propaganda against the DPRK. Crowley's senseless talk about criminal state cannot be regarded merely as a schizophrenic symptom of an individual short of information and vocabulary. It disclosed the real intention of the present administration to cover up its helplessness with a wall of strategic patience and evade all dialogues, including the six-party talks. If the United States is not sure of dialogue, we too do not feel the need to urge it. But the United States must clearly know that we do not pardon any slander against us, and we have our way to settle account. The Secretariat of the Committee for the Peaceful Reunification of Korea issued information 957 on the 21st. The information said, some time ago, a spokesman for the South Korean Public Ministry of Unification senselessly said, it is the North that impaired the spirit of the June 15th joint declaration and led to Moses' stream of wicked outbursts about what they call apology concerning the sinking of the warship and renunciation of nuclear development, and continued. Puppet Minister of Unification Hyun In-Pek talked again about possibility of contingency, an incident of a tourist of Mount Kumgang and the National Assembly, and the bandits of the Grand National Party blurred that it should not be slandered that the South-North relations were deteriorated because of the North policy of the present government. It is a traitorous act and unpardonable serious provocation aimed at concealing their dirty nature as the destroyer and violator of the June 15th Joint Declaration, justifying their policy of confrontation with fellow countrymen and evading the responsibility for leading the North-South relations to rupture and crisis of war. The South Korean traitors, including those of the puppet Ministry of Unification, hinted a joint function of the nation for the 10th anniversary of the June 15th Joint Declaration in every way and aborted it in the end. Puppet Minister of Unification Hyun In-Pek did not participate in the function for commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the June 15th Joint Declaration organized by Unification Movement organizations, though he had received an invitation as last year, which is a direct challenge to the June 15th Joint Declaration. Now the South Korean puppets are intensifying fascist suppression of the Unification Movement organizations and betraying their plot to punish the pro-unification figure who visited Pyongyang. The senseless outbursts of the South Korean puppets are mere tricks and last kick to escape from the political crisis caused by the racket of the conspiratorial case of the sinking of the warship and their defeat in the elections to local autonomous bodies, and from the public denunciation at home and abroad, as well as the South Korean people's denunciation against the criminal rupture of the old inter-Korean relations. The Korean Central News Agency released an indictment on the 21st under the title, "The Truth Behind the Conspiratorial Case of the Sinking of the Warship Cannot Be Concealed," on the lapse of 1 month after the United States and the traitorous Nyingma Group announced the results of investigation into the sinking of the South Korean puppet Navy's warship. The indictment cited specific materials to expose that the story about the North torpedo attack, loudly talked about by the United States and the traitorous Nyingma Group, is a fabrication without any scientific ground, and lurking behind it are the despicable political purpose they pursue through the case of the Tsunan and the dirty collusion for its realization. The South Korean puppet civilian military joint investigation team admitted on the 19th that the analysis of adsorptive matter on the hull of the warship Tsunan and torpedo pads was wrong, which had been presented as a scientific evidence of the sinking by torpedo explosion. At a third meeting of the Special Committee of the National Assembly for Proof into the Truth Behind the Sinking of the Tsunan on the 11th, D. K. Pong, Explosion Section Chief of the Joint Investigation Team, admitted that their results of investigation were wrong, vaguely saying, in the initial examination, iron and crystalline aluminum oxide was detected. At that time, crystalline aluminum oxide could not be found out because a very little amount was detected. Later, through an additional investigation, a little amount of crystalline aluminum oxide was found. The Media Verification Committee for Proof into the Truth Behind the Warship Tsunan, comprised of press organizations, said the result of analysis of adsorptive matter of the joint investigation team had been advocated to be most scientific of the results of investigation they made. The committee maintained that as the result was reversed, a new investigation team must be organized with civilians to start investigation from the beginning, and it must be accompanied with investigation into state administration, hearing, and others, so as to remove the doubts about the whole investigation into the case of the Tsunan. The South Korean newspaper Kyungyang Sinmun carried an editorial on the 18th, denouncing the puppet government for going against public sentiment. The editorial denounced that the Nyingma government is indiscriminately repressing the people who doubt the results of investigation into the sinking of the warship, oppressing the freedom of expression and assembly, and suppressing the civilians who had been to Pyongyang in the days of the former government on suspicion of the violation of the national security law. It exposed the authorities that turning away from the demand of the people for correcting the state administration and refilling their positions of power with their new close associates. The South Korean Youth and Students' Solidarity for the Implementation of the June 5th Joint Declaration made public a statement on the 18th, denouncing the puppet dictatorial force for their fascist suppression. The statement mentioned the surprise search of the house of the head commander of the Solidarity by police under the National Secrecy Law on the 18th and criticized that recently the public security authorities consecutively suppressed civic and public organizations and individual personages. The joint statement of the political parties and organizations of the DPRK led the entire Korean nation smashed the challenge of the anti-reunification forces and opened wide gate to national reunification with united efforts under the banner of the June 5th Joint Declaration, was reported on the 15th by the Chinese Sina News Agency, the Russian Internet Press, and the Myanmar News Agency. The Russian Association for the Study of the Tsutsi Idea released a statement on the 16th as regards the lapse of 60 years since the U.S. imperialists provoked a Korean War. The statement said, during the Korean War, the U.S. imperialist aggressors and their followers ruthlessly destroyed the northern half of Korea and added, the Korean army and people firmly united around leader Kim Il-sung gave a disgraceful defeat to the imperialist aggressors and won a great victory. Today, too, the frantic aggressive war exercises escalated by the United States and the South Korean puppets are a main factor disturbing peace of the Korean Peninsula and Northeast Asia. The Korean people led by Kim Jong-un are fully ready to resolutely smash any imperialist aggression, the statement said, and extended full support and solidarity to the just cause of the Korean people. And this is the end of the news read by Kim Hee-ok. This is Voice of Korea. Dear listeners, now is the time for broadcasting the reminiscences of the great leader President Kim Il-sung with the century. Today we present the third installment of Section 2 in the Dear World Time of Chapter 14, Towards Mount Pacto. We discussed the objective of our attack again. I suggested Minjiang as the target of our attack. I had stayed at Minjiang for about a month, recruiting reinforcements and rehabilitating an underground organization in summer 1932 on my return from my visit to Ryang Sebong's unit at Tonghua. We were familiar with the place and had a foothold there. Consequently, I was convinced that I could achieve our objective without difficulty if we fought there. Wang Xun was not keen on the town, insisting that it was too far away. He insisted that even if the attack was successful, we might fall into the enemy's encirclement on our way back. He had in mind Fosun County Town. Command again, let's attack Fosun. Li Hongbin echoed with a clenched fist in excitement. He had ample reason to speak in favor of Fosun. When leaving Umu, he had sent a company commander of his detachment, Meng Xianxing by name, on a reconnaissance mission to learn my whereabouts. However, the company commander had been captured by the gendarmerie in Fosun during his mission. The enemy had pressed him to explain the aim of his entry into the town and the man he planned to meet. He had maintained his silence. The gendarmes had tortured him, pouring boiling water into his mouth. His mouth had been scalded and lips blistered. But the strong-willed company commander had resisted in silence, refusing to stain his honor. The enemy had dragged out the man to the northern outskirts of the town, along with the patriotic peasants in Fosun area who had been detained on the charge of being in contact with the bandits, and shot him and the peasants. But he was only wounded and had pretended to be dead. A kind-hearted man had carried him away and treated him before sending him back to his unit. this undying company commander had brought to light the atrocities of the Japanese gendarmerie in Fusan. Li Lingbin gave me a brief recount of the atrocities witnessed by the company commander. After the death of Commander Wang, the Japanese army and police blocked the war gates and issued permits to the inhabitants who were supposed to pass through the gates in order to arrest all people in touch with bandits. People who went through the gates without a pass or holding an outdated pass were all tortured. Anyone who resisted was murdered in secret. The brutality of their murder was unprecedented throughout history. The enemy took the people arrested at the gates to a hotel near Shimon Bridge, locked them up in the hotel before dragging them at dawn to the brink of the marsh on River Todao Sanwa and beheaded them. The Japanese soldiers were encouraged to cut off the victims' heads with their swords and see the gushing blood to train their mettle. It was a fiendish act which even the devil would shudder at. The beheaded bodies were thrown into the marsh. Naturally, in the later days, the people of Fusan called the marsh the harbor for the murdered. The enemy sought out immediately people who let out the beheading secret and killed them in the same brutal manner. Their bodies were also thrown into the harbor for the murdered. The blood in my heart boiled with rage. My mind was gripped with the pain of remorse as I realized that the thoughts of refraining from upsetting my precious memory of Fusan with a gunshot or clouding it with powder fumes constituted my feelings of compassion. Of the many war towns around Mount Paito, Fusan was one of the strategic points, including Linjiang and Chunbai, which the enemy attached special importance to. Regarding Fusan as one of the central bases for suppressing the disturbance of public peace in the eastern frontier region, the Japanese imperialists stationed in that town large forces from Kuomintang Army, Puppet Manchukuo Army, and the police. Gagashi's crack unit, known to have been toughened in battle, was entrenched in the town. It was therefore very important to put Fusan under our military control and thereby occupy the area around Mount Paito. Destroy the fiendish enemy entrenched in Fusan County town to wreak the people's vengeance upon him, and save innocent prisoners who are being beheaded in the war town like hell. These continual hot-blooded outcries seem to stir me up in my imagination. I must attack Fusan first. In that town, which fills me with tears, guiltless people are murdered at the mercy of the sword of Japanese samurais every day. Why should I go to Minjiang, knowing that such a tragedy is taking place within a hailing distance? If I attack Fusan, I shall thereby gain revenge upon the people's enemy, strengthen the United Front with the Chinese anti-Japanese units, and occupy Mount Paito area without difficulty. Consequently, I must fight there without a moment's delay. I thought that an attack on the town of Fusan would constitute the most sympathetic greetings to the townsfolk, as well as an expression of the warmest and truest love I could ever offer them. Therefore, I decided to attack Fusan and open up a defensive phase in occupying the northwestern area of Mount Paito. After agreeing upon the target of attack, we sent out scouts to reconnoiter the town again. Studying the reconnaissance report, I had the premonition that we had to fight against heavy odds. The town's defenses were far stronger than we had predicted. Like all other war towns in Manchuria, Fusan was surrounded by a solid mud wall reinforced with the gun emplacements. The only thing in our favor was that a company of the Puppet Manchukuo Army on guard duty at the wall gates was under our influence, and I knew the town's streets well. The company included an organization of the Anti-Japanese Association, which had been formed by political operatives from our unit. The deputy company commander Wang, head of the organization,
extremists that he opposed to reliable members of his organization as guards at the world gates at the attack hour and let them open all the gates at the same time. Listening to the third installment of the section 2 in the Dear World Time of Chapter 14, Towards Mount Pector, from the reminiscences of the great liberal president Kim Il-sung with the century. This is Voice of Korea. Workers' Party of Korea glorious 65 years. Whenever they only look back upon the glorious 65-year long history of the Workers' Party of Korea, the Korean people impressively recall the mighty exploits of President Kim Il-sung, who accomplished the historic cause of party founding and built the Workers' Party of Korea as the most militant and revolutionary party, a mass party serving for the working people under so difficult and complicated circumstances after liberation. The cause of party founding accomplished in liberated Korea. The cause of founding a revolutionary working class party in Korea was brilliantly accomplished by President Kim Il-sung. After he put an end to the Japanese imperialist colonial rule and liberated the country, President Kim Il-sung immediately founded a revolutionary party of Tsutsu type on the basis of the organizational and ideological foundation of party founding and brilliant revolutionary traditions he had established in the flames of the glorious anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle. He presented a policy of party founding at a meeting of military and political cadres of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army on August 20, 1945, right after liberation, and energetically pushed forward preparations for forming a unified party with the revolutionary fighters trained in the anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle as the hardcore and involving revolutionaries active dispersively at home and abroad. But the division of Korea into two due to the U.S. imperialist and vicious obstructive maneuvers of the reactionary forces made it impossible to form an all-Korean unified party. On the basis of his deep analysis of the demand of the prevailing situation, President Kim Il-sung presented a policy on forming the Central Organizational Committee of the Communist Party of North Korea, a powerful central leadership organ of the party first, taking advantage of the favorable conditions created in North Korea. For the purpose, he took measures to check the maneuvers of the forces obstructing the unity of the ranks and readjust local organizations and create preconditions for consolidating the ranks in an organized way. President Kim Il-sung dispatched the anti-Japanese revolutionary fighters to different local areas to firmly consolidate already organized local organizations of the Communist Party. And he organized positive organizational and political work to form new party cells in factories, farm villages, mines and fishing villages, and expand party ranks with progressive elements of the workers and farmers. As soon as the local organizations were readjusted and conditions to form the party were prepared in the main, President Kim Il-sung called a preliminary meeting to successfully hold the inaugural congress of the party in Pyongyang on October 5, 1945. The policy on forming the Central Organizational Committee of the Communist Party of North Korea presented by the president was supported by absolute majority at the meeting. As a result, the preparations for accomplishing the cause of forming a working class party were completed in liberated Korea. On the basis of the full preparations for forming the party, President Kim Il-sung called the history inaugural congress of the party and declared the founding of the Revolutionary Party of Tsutsu type to the whole world on October 10, 1945. With the founding of the party, the Korean people had their own powerful political staff and vanguard unit of revolution. Under the leadership of the party, they built a peculiar people-centered socialism, a powerful state independent in politics, self-sustaining in the economy, and self-reliant in national defense in once backward and poverty-stricken Korea. The French magazine Beep, in its editorial, praised the Workers' Party of Korea as the party of President Kim Il-sung, which was founded under his wise leadership and opened a brilliant new history in accomplishing the socialist cause, the independent cause of the popular masses, and that today, the brilliant history of victory is successfully carried forward by Kim Jong-il. The Korean people will further glorify the exploits of President Kim Il-sung, who founded a great glorious party and built a success-oriented great prosperous and powerful nation in the future under the guidance of leader Kim Jong-il. You've been listening to the count, the cause of party forming accomplished in liberated Korea from the regular program, Workers' Party of Korea, glorious 65 years. This is Voice of Korea. All people, please. President Kim Il-sung is a great man recognized by the world. The progressive humanity of the world speak highly of great President Kim Il-sung as the great leader representing the 20th century and as a prominent leader. Roh Hak-won, who visited Korea in the capacity of the head of the delegation of the Mount Baekdu Association for Independent Development of Mongolia, said,
Дэмждэг. Тэгээд энэ үзэл санаагаар бол ард түмнийхээ хүчинд толгуурлаж тухайн орон нутгийн хөгжил
The great idea is the guiding idea of the independent era, which should be regarded as the guideline in all fields of the building of a state and society. Great President Kim Il-sung created the immortal church idea and admirably applied it to the revolution and construction. There were many great persons in human history, but none of them created such an idea representing the essential feature and aspirations of the popular masses as the church idea. That is why he enjoys unanimous praise of the world as a peerless great man for his personality and exploits. Indeed, the great leader President Kim Il-sung is a great man recognized by the world as well as our Mongolians. Rege Ramatunge, chairman of the Sri Lanka People's Korea Friendship Association, said,
President Kim Il-sung is a great man in the world. He is a great leader of the world, not only Korea. He is a man who loved his country, to develop his country. He loved his people, and he especially loved children. So that's a great achievement and great idea of a leader of a country. His most interesting activities are his concern about agriculture, and as well as he's very concerned about the living of the people, to accommodate them in houses and give them proper way of living without anybody's help. To rely on duty, you see, duty should exist with your own work, your own power. So that's a very good idea. I mean, in any other country, in Sri Lanka, we have introduced duty. And it's a very good achievement. People work hard. They work for themselves. He's a great leader of the world. Not only Korea.
Nisar Ahmed Huro, who visited Korea as the head of the delegation of the Pakistani Preparatory Committee for commemorating the centenary birth anniversary of great President Kim Il-sung, visited the International Friendship Exhibition House in Mount Myeongchang, the celebrated mountain of Korea, and said, Great President Kim Il-sung is a legendary great man. Born into a modest family, he devoted his life to the people's welfare. He, who created the great church idea, has brightly illumined the road ahead of progressive humanity. The progressive humanity only proves his greatness.
displayed in the exhibition house are precious gifts presented to President Kim Il-sung by heads of party, state and government, and celebrities of many countries of the world. The reverence of humanity for President Kim Il-sung will remain unchanged despite the lapse of time. Indeed, President Kim Il-sung is a prominent leader of not only the Korean people, but also the progressive people of the world. Even listening to famous comments under the title, President Kim Il-sung is a great man recognized by the world. From a regular program, all people approve. This is Voice of Korea.
Now here is a chorus. Brilliant Life.
we now present an account under the title, Historical Victory of the Korean People in Confrontation with the United States. And bringing the situation of the Korean Peninsula to the brink of war under the pretext of the case. The U.S. imperialists and their followers against the JPRK are summing up the war fever of the traitorous Lee Myung-bak group and getting crazier than ever before in their attempt to strike the DPRK. Now the Korean army and people regard the war moves of the U.S. imperialists and the South Korean traitors as reckless acts of those steeped in an anachronistic idea, and are more convinced of their victory. In the past, the U.S. imperialists and the war servants invaded the socialist and developing countries, throwing out the belligerent logic that war is as good as to untie with teeth a knot which cannot be untied with a tongue. The imperialists put forward a strategy of world domination by logical strength and almighty nuclear theory, and undisguisedly committed aggressive wars against Panama, Grenada, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other countries. But such logic could not work on Korea. The U.S. imperialist strategy of world domination repeated the failures and abortions in Korea decade after decade. After the Korean War, provoked by the U.S. imperialists in the early 1950s, ended with the victory of the Korean people, Clark, the then commander-in-chief of the UN forces, who signed the armistice agreement, confessed, "I gain the unenviable distinction of being the first United States Army commander in history to sign an armistice without victory." As the world commented, the secret of Korea's victory in the war lay in the outstanding military strategy and strong will of President Kim Il-sung and the strength of the spirit of all the army and the people. Citing the historical lesson of the Korean War in the 1950s, the U.S. imperialists did not give up their ambition for Korean aggression, but suffered the same fate as Clark in Korea. When the U.S. imperialist armed spy ship Traveler was captured by the Navy of the Korean People's Army after its intrusion into the territorial waters of Korea in the 1960s, the former U.S. President Johnson blared at first that they would bring back the ship even by wielding a stick, but finally sent a letter of apology to Korea. In the 1990s, the former U.S. President Bill Clinton, who drove the Korean situation to the brink of war while talking about nuclear inspection of the DPRK, sent a letter of assurance to Korea. Under War Munich, Bush the Younger, who had named the DPRK a rogue state and terror sponsor, deleted it from the list of terror sponsors. The facts are well known to the world. As above said, the history of confrontation between the DPRK and the United States was a history of victory of Korea. Witnessing the ruin of Korea, Andy Brooks, General Secretary of the New Communist Party of Britain, in his article, "We Must Know Korea Correctly," wrote, "The secret of the victory of Korea in the confrontation with the United States lies in the strong courage and confidence of the brilliant Sungun commander Kim Jong-il, who regards the outburst of the imperialists as a mischief of naive children. As long as it is led by little Kim Jong-il, correct in judgment, resolute in determination, and merciless in strife, Korea will be invincible. The Korean people never want a war. But if the U.S. imperialists and the South Korean puppet traitors trigger off a war, prompted by an anachronistic idea, the Korean people will smash the enemy at his throat, realize the historic desire of national reunification, and carry forward the tradition of victory forever."
You've been listening to McConnell's title, Historical Victory of the Korean People in Confrontation with the United States. This is Voice of Korea. History with Leonard Culture. Dear listeners, Indians are one of the people's trinkets. In Korea, people wear double rings or single rings. In some countries, all people, men and women, wear rings on their fingers. But in Korea, finger rings are used mainly as trinkets of women. This time we tell you about finger rings are trinkets of Korean women. In Korea, it is a long-standing custom that women wear rings on their fingers. According to archaeological documents, double rings were made of bronze and different other materials in the ancient times, and afterwards, there were various forms of double rings made of gold, silver, and other precious metals and non-metals. In modern ages, women wore double rings mainly made of gold, silver, jade, pearl, and other materials, which were generally thicker than those of the ancient times. Lee Han-ok, section chief of the Korean Central History Museum, said,
가락지는 유박으로 수집할 때 신분집 어머니들의 기념으로 주거나 했는데 그것은 가락지처럼 부모가 일생 떨어지지 말고
When the adults were married off, mothers used to give them double rings as keepsake in the hope that they would live long harmoniously with their husbands all their life without separation. At ordinary times, Korean women did not wear double rings but carefully kept them tied in their breast ribbons. They used to wear double rings on one finger on holidays or at ceremonies. Double rings were worn only by married women, but single rings by all women. Single rings were also made of gold, silver, jade and other materials, and called gold ring, silver ring, jade ring and others. Jewel rings were used in the 15th and 16th centuries, when jewelry were only widely used. Finger rings are named differently according to their utility and forms. They include engagement rings exchanged between men and women at their betrothal and wedding rings exchanged during the wedding ceremony. The single ring occasionally is put on the middle finger of left hand or on the right hand, but usually on the third finger of left hand. The custom is widespread among Korean people today. Along with the development of gold work, silver work, and jewel processing techniques, various shapes of finger rings are made and used by women in Korea. You've been listening to the count, Finger Rings as Trinkets of Korean Women, from the regular program, Time Honored History, Resplendent Culture. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, with this, we conclude English language service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Voice of Korea presents its English language service for Europe between 13 and 14 hours UTC, between 15 and 16 hours UTC, between 18 and 19 hours UTC, and between 21 and 22 hours UTC on 13,760 kHz and 15,245 kHz. For North America, between 13 and 14 hours UTC, and between 15 and 16 hours UTC on 9,335 kHz and 11,710 kHz. And for Northwest Asia, between 1 and 2 hours UTC, and between 3 and 4 hours UTC on 7,200 kHz, 9,345 kHz, and 9,740 kHz. Goodbye, this is Pyongyang.